For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
It's Not Another Buffalo Podcast, hosted by three of the most underqualified sports personalities this side of the canal. With John.
All you people out there who are like, these idiots don't know anything. First of all, you're right. And second of all,
Pat. I'm just a dad talking in a closet, but like, you know, like I'm just saying.
And Brando.
We have this trust built on whatever it is, like Bibles and gold bricks and whatever Brandon Bean's drinking over there.
All right, Bills fans, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time you are listening. This is Not Another Buffalo Podcast. I am Brandon. You might be used to hearing John's intro voice, but he decided to go international and travel the world and see new things and experience new people and see the beauty outside of America. And he decided to get a little bit of a cold. So I am doing the intro today, but he is here. He is doing well. And I just want to let everybody know that this show is brought to you by Small City Realty. And if you're looking to buy, sell, or manage property in Western New York, contact Zachary Corzelius at Small City Real Estate. Zach is awesome. He's the best in the area, buying, selling, looking into property management, all here in Western New York. Give him a call. The number is 585-409-1088. Make sure you just give him a call. Check it out. You know, the real estate market's hot. It's always hot. It's in the summer. It's 90 degrees. You know, that means the real estate market's hot too. So give him a call. And John, I just want to know, man, how you doing? How you feeling? You hanging in there?
Good, good. Yeah, I brought back some good Irish whiskey and a nice little cold to go
That'll
with
help
it.
Your throat. So,
which the cold was easier to get through customs, in if you were wondering. But
did they say anything to you? You gotta declare alcohol.
No, yeah. You know, you buy it at duty free is the best place to get it, because then you get it in the tamper proof bag, and then you know if it's under a liter, you don't have to technically declare it, and yada yada yada. But it was even more stressful for us. I don't want to get into the whole story. But the moral of the story is never fly WestJet. Never again will I ever book a ticket with WestJet for anything. So that's some golden advice right there. If you only hear that out of this episode and you decide not to book a flight with WestJet, I promise you it'll be worth your while.
That's fine.
But yesterday was stressful to say the least.
Is the airline, is stuff changing on you? Because, okay, I'm not going to do this thing where I ask you about it and then tell you about my experience, but I'm actually going to do that. I have never had an issue with planes ever in my entire life. Never been delayed, never had to switch, never been canceled on, never had an accident, never crashed, never had the anything, you know? So knock on what I got.
Yeah, I was going to say, hence you're here. Yeah.
So I'm talking to my sister about this the day before my flight. I just got back as well. I went to Boston and Charlotte and, it's like, never had an issue, knock on wood, not knocked on the wall. And as I'm sitting there to go from Boston to Charlotte, they made us deplane. The pilot was like, there's a hydraulic issue and they fixed it, but I don't feel comfortable doing it, because if the landing gear doesn't come down because the hydraulic's not working, then we're out of luck. So he's like, they gave me the green light, but we're going to have to switch planes. And they did it in an hour. So we got out, got a new plane, terminal right next door, got back on, left. And I was like, this is not bad. I was like, this is what
everybody's... You're lucky. If you were flying WestJet or Alaskan Airlines, they would have said, we'll see you tomorrow. Like, yeah, no. You know, find some accommodations on your own and it's not our fault.
No, thank you. So it is not ideal. I mean, you told the story last time. You had to drive home 6 hours.
Yes. We've had bad luck recently. So, there's that. But no, it was a great trip. Ireland is beautiful for anybody who wants to go. The driving is crazy, but it's so beautiful. So totally worth the trip. I went with my family and my significant other. So
yeah, I'm probably going to hit Scotland next year you know, we talked about this a little bit, the British Opens in Scotland.
I gotta get my golf game up if we're gonna play at anywhere like St. Andrews or something like that, because you don't show up at a place like that if you know that you could lose 6 or 7 balls in a day, which at St. Andrews you're not gonna lose balls probably, but
it depends in the fescue, you know, in the pop fuckers. You just pick it up and throw it in the ocean. But now I know a friend of the show now, she's gone over there in Vietnam, but we talked about that as like, you know, a good meeting spot, and it's not a 19-hour flight for me, and it's beautiful, and it's the golf capital of the world, and there's an open major there next year. So that's in July of next year. So starting the piggy bank savings now. So
Well, so you're gonna have to catch me. Oh my god, I'm sounding like Jerry Seinfeld here. Yeah. What's the deal with Colgert? Where's it gotta go?
I gotta tell you, I lived the Jerry Seinfeld rental car reservation skit. Not me, but the guy in front of me. I'm returning the car. I was returning the car and they were out of cars, and they're telling this guy that they're out of cars. And he's like, I made a reservation. And I'm like, oh, here we go. I can't believe it's happening. And I didn't want to tell him that I was returning a car so that there was a vehicle available, but they were like overcharging him and making him go somewhere else. But he's like, I made a reservation today, this morning. And he's like, the worker was like, well, we don't have any. And the guy was like, but it let me make the reservation. And he's like, well, it must have been an error. And he's like, but I made a reservation. And I'm like, oh, let's do it. Come on, do it. So they didn't get more into it, but it was hilarious. So.
Yeah. It's Jerry when he's like, do you know what a reservation is? Because I don't think you do.
Because if you did, I would have a car. So
That's hilarious.
Can I say one thing about Boston really quick before we get into Bill's talk? Yeah. Because I hate Boston, right? I hate the Patriots. I really hate the Bruins. I don't really care about the Celtics. You know, it's whatever. They won an easy championship. You know, they played all these easy teams, whatever. So I went there, just got back. It was the coolest city ever, I think, I've been in. And I feel like I've been in, maybe a dozen cities, which is not that many in the world. So the apartments were awesome. The Fenway Park might be the coolest park I've ever been to. I had to check that off my quest of all the stadiums. Fenway is 19. He's number 19 for me. So
nice.
One more for the big 2-0. But people were awesome. The TPC Boston was a sweet course. The city was sweet. Everything about the city was awesome. And I was really upset because I'm like, this is not good because I hate Boston. I went through Foxborough. I did not stop at the stadium. And then the guy I golfed with was like, you have to see the Hall of Fame. And I was like, I lived it, man. I don't need to see it. I was like, I'm just going to drive by. I don't care if I ever go. But it did not do well for me to hate on the Boston sports because I really liked the city. So I was conflicted in that sort of mentality is such a hater of the Bruins and the Patriots. And it was also really funny that pretty much, you know, there was some Celtics gear, but it was all Red Sox. I know it's out of season for the Patriots, but there was nobody talking about New England Patriots in Boston.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, I wouldn't either if I was in New England at this point, but yeah, no crappy sports fans, but nice aquarium is how it's up.
I walked by the aquarium.
I think I went there when I was like 10. It was really cool. They have a shark tank that you can look into. Anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, this is what I was going to ask you. To give a gauge to everyone out there of what cities you're comparing Boston to when you say it's the best city you've been to, what would you say is number 2 and 3 on that list of cities that you've been to?
Just
for comparison, because if you say like number 2 is like Akron, Ohio, I'm going to know that you haven't gone to enough cities.
Cleveland's near the bottom. Detroit's cool, but it's not as clean. It's not as safe. Boston, I didn't see a lick of garbage. I felt safe the entire time. I rode a bike. They have e-bikes, dude. It's $10 for the whole day. Did the whole city, And I rode my bike back up the hotel, which was like in Revere. Was not downtown. But I gotta tell you, the traffic, the roads, the tunnels, the bridges with like multiple levels, Paul Revere would be disgusted. He would have gotten lost on his horse. It's so tricky, it's so complicated, but I figured it out and I made it on a bike. But Miami was cool. I really like Miami. Toronto was really cool, except when I went for the World Cup of Hockey, the guy put his cigarette on my McDavid jersey when I was biking by him and it burned a hole in my McDavid jersey. So that was
really, that's not what you would expect from Canadian behavior. Are you sure that was a local?
He had a Canadian's jersey on actually. So he's probably from Montreal, right?
Gotcha.
And Charlotte's cool, but probably Miami and Toronto are the top three that I've been to. Tampa's awesome too. I really love Tampa. I throw Tampa probably ahead of Toronto.
Tampa's got that nice weather going. So
city downtown, just give me the downtown city on the water. And I, you know, all of these coastal cities have it and it just makes a huge difference. And it just shows like Buffalo could have done this sort of stuff. We have a coast on a great lake and it's just, I don't know. So whatever.
It's a good lake. Yeah. It's a good lake. So I have been gone out of the country for a full week now. I have not been able to keep up with training camp. I downloaded a couple of podcasts on the plane ride back because we had, you know, whatever, 7-hour flight back to Toronto before we went, you know, back to Nashville from there. So give me the rundown. Give me the 10-minute Brando version of everything that's happening. Interesting battles, anything notable. Obviously I've seen the injuries. I know we have trouble at safety and stuff like that at this point, which probably raises the likelihood that Micah Hyde might show up midseason. That's just my wild speculation.
Yeah.
But give me some storylines. How's Keon Coleman look? He's probably somebody that everybody's looking at. How did that safety competition look before everybody got injured? And what's the wide receiver room look like it's shaken out as?
We'll talk about the safeties first. They were kind of rotating. Damar Hamlin got first team reps. Mike Edwards was supposed to get most of the reps. And then when he took over, he had a pretty bad leg injury, I guess. It was kind of all wrapped up. Even yesterday, he had it all wrapped up. So he's out. And then they had another guy get hurt. So they just brought in Kareem Jackson. He actually also leads in a bad area. He's taking the most personal fouls. So I think he's a big hitter. He might be one of those last safeties from that last generation of Ed Reed and, you know, the secondary from Seattle. But he's in that sort of tier. I don't know how good he is, but he's a body. And I think if Micah Hyde were to come back, it's not going to be now. Let me tell you, I mean, Alec Anderson yesterday left with heat-related illness and went to the hospital via ambulance. And I can't believe he was the only one because it was so hot. It was so hot. Josh Allen comes out in his hoodie underneath his pads. I'm like, what are you doing, big dog? Like, what are you doing? It's so hot. And if I'm Micah Hyde, I'm not doing this. Like, I'm not doing training camp. It's just not going to happen. You sign me. And I want to say, if you sign a vet minimum contract, they're guaranteed after week three or four or through the season. So you want to pick your time, like be Cole Beasley and John Brown, come in November and December if you really want to play some more. So I'm sure Micah, you know, is itching or whatever, but I'm sure that he's going to be hanging out at a beach house on a boat or in a chair somewhere during this tough dog days of summer. So, you know, we can talk about other positions. The O-line's interesting. Connor McGovern getting reps at center, having the adjustment from Mitch Morse to get those snaps down. I know they've had a couple of fumbled handoffs. I didn't see anything yesterday. And I also realized that we're not allowed to talk about certain things that we witness. So you're not supposed to record anything. So everybody that's posting the clips that covers the team, I saw a few of you guys as a worker yesterday. I had to tell people to stop because you could be working for Bill Belichick and we don't want that. So, but you know, you see some
might as well be if you're posting it on Twitter, right? Though.
Yeah.
Cause well, Bill, I don't know if Bill Belichick actually could figure out Twitter. Cause didn't he call it like Twitter a snap face or something like that?
Yeah, he's BSing us, man. He's got people scouring,
right,
looking for videos. But yesterday was third down day, I guess. They did third and sevens and longs, and they gave Von Miller a rest day the day before, and Von looked pretty good yesterday. The D-line is interesting. AJ Epenesa is going to get all the opportunity in the world to play alongside that third DN line with Greg Rousseau and Von, and I'd be curious to see who steps up there. Ed Oliver looks good. He was really nice to talk to him for a while yesterday. Now the other guy, he's my guy, got his helmet right there, is Kyir Elam. I think he's going to be, he was the last player on the field yesterday. He signed every autograph that was in front of him. And when I say every autograph, I mean, it was like a line of 100 yards because it's from one end zone to the other. And he went all the way down and he stayed in that corner for maybe, you know, I was leaving at 1:30, practice ended at 11:45 and he was still out there signing. So I'm going to call it until they caught him. He's going to break out. He's going to be a player. He's going to be better than Dane Jackson was for us. So I think to watch the secondary with Christian Benford and Rasul Douglas, I think had a pick six on Josh yesterday. He played very well. So that's going to be pretty set. Running back's interesting because Ray Davis, I saw him on the field a lot, and how they're going to use him, I'd be curious. I also saw, I don't know how much I can talk about it, but the way that the Bills are using Curtis Samuel right now, just a rewatch.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Some of our clips, and you might have heard me say a few things about him, but he is going to be the guy this year, man. I've just... all-purpose yards, whatever bet you can find on him. You look at his yards, you know, you get 90 targets, 30 carries. Give him 120 touches. That give me that for his stat line this year. I think he's going to have an outstanding season. Keon looked pretty good. He's, you know, not doing bad, I guess. I haven't seen a whole lot with him. I know Cole Bishop was playing pretty well. He was kind of stepping in, but he left with a bad arm injury yesterday, maybe the day before, all wrapped up. I did not see him there yesterday. Spencer Brown's got a tough matchup against Vaughn. And I was talking to Spencer Brown yesterday, and he's so big. I'm like, heist ankles. I'm trying, man. I'm trying. But it's so hot. And he's just so big. And to see how anybody could ever beat him in a one-on-one is just, it would be super impressive to me. These linemen are so big.
Now he's coming back from an injury though, isn't he?
I want to say he missed a little bit, right? He was hurt a little bit last year, but he looked pretty good yesterday.
I think he had shoulder surgery or something like that after the season ended, maybe.
Interesting.
Trying to remember. But anyway, I was going to ask you, so you do get a chance to kind of talk to these players a little bit, you know, as an employee, like any
kind of,
yeah, I know it's obviously quick. Anything, you know, maybe we'll next time you're there, we'll have to get you to ask some, you know, I'll give you a list of,
I tried, John, I really
prodding
did try.
Questions, but anything interesting, anything that you wouldn't normally get from other stuff.
Keon Coleman, I met the family. So the kid made him friendship bracelets. I don't know if you saw this at
yes,
all. And
yeah.
Keon brought them all. So their group was right in front of me the whole time. So I thought that was kind of cool. Keon getting involved early in the community. This kid was super excited to see him. Frank Gore Jr. signed a lot of autographs too yesterday. I really, you know, I didn't get to talk to a lot. I talked to Jeremy from WGR a little bit. He was supposed to golf at Oak Hill yesterday, but their member was sick, so he had to take the day off of golf. But it also hurricaned in Rochester for a little while. So talked to Tasker for a minute. But again, these conversations, like I'm standing there, I'm not supposed to do anything. So it's like, hey, how you doing, man? You know, you missed training camp? Nope. Okay. See you later. Like just like little things. Sale's always cool. He's around. Coach McDermott was talking to fans and about faith, which is funny because he's like, yeah, it's very important. You know, somebody said something to him about it. And I'm like, yeah. Yeah, it is. And that's cool. Anything else, coach? What about how you're going to beat the Chiefs? But whatever, whatever. So so that went on. And then nothing really, though. I mean, just little stuff. Ed Oliver was nice. He was talking to everybody. And like I said, Kyrie Elam was nice. They're just, you can see the ones that they're making a little bit more effort. To see some of these, you know, the fringe players or the new players spend time in the fans, it's cool. But other than that, I mean, the 2-minute drill that I saw Allen lead yesterday ended in a field goal. They got stuck in the red zone. But I also find it interesting. I was thinking about it while I'm watching it. The red zone training camp process for a quarterback like Josh Allen, he's not really running, right? He's not going to run the plays that are draws. They're not, you know, because they're not going to let him get hit. So, and if he does take off, it's like a quick whistle. So they're keeping him in the pocket, and he did drive them down the field enough for a close field goal, but I think they got stopped at like the 12-yard line. I don't think Mitch Trubisky made it too far. He didn't look great either, which is kind of funny. So much shorter than Josh, unfortunately. So Ray Davis, I talked about him a little bit. Matt Milano's coming along. I think he's doing pretty well. He interacted with a lot of fans yesterday too, but other than that, you know, I don't have anything noteworthy. I didn't get to ask anybody about garbage plates this year. Gabe Davis was not around, but other than that, you know, it was cool though. It's always a cool experience. So I know they caught a punter today to bring in Kareem Jackson. So
yes,
they're pretty much set on that front, but
I think they signed another safety as well. I don't know.
Yep. Terrell Burgess.
So they're bringing in guys at the position. I mean, you know, you had two, two gaps there, but Jake Browning was the punter that they cut, I think.
Yep.
And interesting because I guess he was holding when Tyler Bass had a pretty good day kicking as well. So, you know, who knows? But it sounds like they just trust Sam Martin at this point. So, that's probably going to be the case there. And then hopefully we just never have to punt, you know,
like that's
kind of the goal.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So I want to get into a little bit about this wide receiver group. I want to talk to you about Keon Coleman a little bit. I got a bit of a game for you. It's called Guess the Prospect. We're going to be talking about Keon Coleman and this prospect in relation to Keon Coleman. Maybe Keon will be this. Maybe he won't be this. But this receiver was the 177th pick in a draft. He had siblings that played in the NFL. His statistics as a draft prospect. Now, this is what I kind of find interesting. So we have Keon Coleman's size, right? What is he? Coleman is 6'3", 215 pounds, right? Now, this player that I'm measuring up against is 6'2", and 205 pounds. Close, right? Close. So now we're talking about 40 times. Coleman came in with a 4.61 40 time. This player X ran a 4.57 yard, 40 yard dash. Now we're going to talk about the gauntlet. These two players, since they started measuring speed at miles per hour, Keon Coleman reached a speed of 20.3. And this other player also tied Coleman's time. So they have the same time during the gauntlet drill. And they both ran over a 4.5 40 yard dash. So that's kind of interesting. The interesting part about it is this player, they actually both players recorded the fastest speed of their wide receiver groups of their draft class, even though their 40 times were bad. So they're very much close in their measurables, but this wide receiver took the league and dominated early on. So John, do you know who this receiver is?
Okay. Has siblings in the league. What era are we talking? Like, give me a decade.
It's 2020s.
Okay.
That's too easy for you.
That's too easy. I'm trying to think of a guy who has siblings and is also Keon Coleman size.
I'll give you another tip.
Yeah, this give player, me one more hint.
This player is playing with a veteran quarterback, which makes everything a little easier.
It's true. I was going to say, it's not Justin Jefferson, is it? Justin Jefferson's a little bit bigger than Keon Coleman. I keep thinking NFC teams for some reason. Is he in the
That's
NFC?
That's right. That's good. Okay. This player has debuted on the top 100 list, coming in on inside the top 40. This player would have been quite the waiver wire addition, as in after the first two games of his rookie season, he set the record for receptions by a rookie.
And if you got him. Okay. Is it, is it Puka Nacua?
Then? Puka Nacua. Ding, ding, ding. All right. Yes, it is.
It took me
That's
long
the
enough.
Comparison. And I have not heard this really between Keon Coleman and Puka Nacua. And I did not realize how similar their builds are. And I think in college, Nacua was used a little bit more. From what I've read at Florida State, Coleman was used mostly as an X, as that outside guy. But Nacua has the ability to move inside, outside. But he plays with Cooper Kupp, so that helps him a lot, obviously. And Matt Stafford knows defenses that can get Nacua open. So, but just from a build perspective, they're close. Their numbers are close. And if that's your ceiling, then I'm all in on Coleman. I think I've rotated it around this year. I can't decide how hype I want to get on him because I'm so excited about Curtis Samuel and Dalton Kincaid. But to have this sleeper here, I think he could be a difference maker based on the reps he's been getting in training camp. He seems to be making good catches. He's had a couple of nice out route balls on him, brings it in, feet in, catches. So they're using him. How much he's going to get action-wise is a good question. I think he's been on the field quite a bit. So he's going to be in that first three receivers in the sets between Samuel, Shakir, and Coleman with Kincaid. And we'll see about Knox. You know, they're 12 personnel. But
yeah, but rumors, a lot of tight formations from Joe Brady this year is going to be the feel. So it's going to be like the anti Brian Daboll offense, you know, less spread, a little bit more compact. That doesn't mean less passing, but that sets up with your play action a lot better as well. So that'll be interesting to see. But sorry again to everybody having to listen to me croak through this. But I guess before we wrap up here, I just want to ask you, you know, and I feel like we've talked about this before. This calls for wild speculation, but this wide receiver room, including the tight ends, up against last year's wide receiver room.
Who do you think is better?
Last
year's. I don't care.
Elaborate.
You're not getting better by taking away a 1,000-yard receiver. I don't care what anybody says. You're not.
But think about the counterpoint. And again, I'm not like committing to this point, but look at the wide receiver 2 through 6. We've got Dalton Kincaid, 1 year older, second, more experienced. Khalil Shakir, 1 year older, more experienced. Gabe Davis really didn't contribute in the ways that we wanted him to last year. But yeah, I don't know. It obviously the X factor is Keon Coleman, but if he takes a wide receiver one like role, maybe not a dominant wide receiver one, but a wide receiver one like role through this season and does what we hope he can do, then I don't know. I mean, it really comes down to whether you think the Stephon Diggs, he didn't fall off a cliff, but if you think that there was, you know, the gas in the tank was getting a little bit lower with him towards the end of the season. It depends on how you look at it that way, I guess, but it's really hard to make the case that subtracting Stephon Diggs is going to make your wide receiver room better. But I'd say that if you were to remove the wide receiver one from the equation, I think clearly receiver 2 through 8, or whatever it ends up being, including the tight ends, has been improved.
I agree
significantly.
I circle back to what Greg Cosell said on One Bills Live, maybe in right when the trade happened.
We've been milking this quote for a while.
Replacing Diggs with Curtis Samuel is exactly the same. And I was like, what are you talking about? I don't know. I think that having a guy like him makes everybody better. Diggs makes everybody else better. But to see, you're projecting Kincaid. And if you look at, you know, the Bills rookie record, I think is Sammy Watkins with like 930 yards, 6 touchdowns, 75 catches. If you give that to Coleman, I think we're better this year than we were last year. But, you know, even if he comes in 800 yards, 700 yards, still nothing bad. To have Curtis Samuel here is so key. He needs to stay healthy. But you don't know about Kincaid and you don't know about Khalil Shakir. How are they going to elevate their game? I'm really curious to see. There's so much to know that we don't know yet. What are first and second downs going to look like? Are you going to run 12 personnel with 2 wide receivers on the field and bring a third one in on third down? Or, you know, who's going to get the snap? So if we're going to project, it's tough. A new coordinator, new roster. Kincaid gets a bump. Shakir gets a bump. You know, and Samuel will probably get a little bit of a bump. So where does that leave everybody else? We got a tough schedule. We got a really tough schedule. That first place schedule this year compared to like the Jets schedule this year, our games added, it's like Detroit, Kansas City, and 49ers compared to like the Bears, the Vikings, and I don't even know whoever else the Jets play. So that'll be a big difference of defenses that we face. So it's a good question. It could be better. I'm not going to just hammer it. No, I'm not going to give you a hot take to say one side or the other, but there's potential. So with all that being said, we have the return of the red, white, and blue training camp to Buffalo on Friday this week. Maybe the day this comes out, we'll see. So if you're going to that, have a good time. If you see me, say hello, I will be there. And then the following week, we get the Bears, who are playing in the Hall of Fame game, and Caleb Williams is not making his debut in the Hall of Fame game. So he should be making his debut in Buffalo. I would assume there will be some Bears fans in Buffalo to see that, which would be interesting. Gives a little bit of a hype around the game. And then it's the Panthers or the Steelers, I think. Maybe both of them preseason. And then we're here. So in the meantime, you know, keep watching, keep listening to us. You can find us on all of the social medias, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, all that stuff. And you let us know what you think about this team, about our conversations. So until next time, hopefully see you guys at the red, white, and blue training camp on Friday. And until then, go Bills.
Go Bills.
For a limited
limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.